Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thank you one and all for being with us wherever you are, whenever you are. And just being part of all this. Obviously, if you weren't doing that, I wouldn't be doing this. And we seem to both be enjoying it. So it's good. My guest tonight is Kalikia Duggar, who is actually somebody I know. I know her mom, who lives locally, and I've met Kalikia a few times. And we talked about her work, and I wanted to introduce all of you to what she does, because it's fascinating. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which is going to be a little more serious, I think, than some of them. I often kind of touch on the struggle between light and dark in the world, and that there is a malevolent demonic intelligence in the world that affects everything, all of the bad things that are going on, organized crime of all kinds, all the violence and slavery and addiction in the world. There is something pushing that. There is something behind it. And we're having a very strange week with a political convention, and I don't want to name names, so it'll kind of be like Harry Potter, he who shall not be named. But the theme of the message that seems to be coming out of the convention happening this week is fear, hatred, violence, us against them. And this is not an unusual thing in the world, but it's pretty unusual for it to be that intensely upfront in American politics. And I found myself, when I was thinking about this, looking up a quote from Yoda, because I think Master Yoda probably said it best. Beware the dark side. Anger, fear, aggression, the dark side of the Force are they. Easily they flow, quick to join you in a fight. If once you start down the dark path, forever it will dominate your destiny. And I would have said it differently, but can't really beat a quote from Yoda. And that seems to be the warning that I have for all the people that are doing what they're doing very publicly, very loudly this week. It's the path of the dark side. And once you go there, it's real hard to come back. And it's ugly and mean and nasty, and mostly it comes back on you. It's, you think you're doing it to other people, and that's impossible. There are no other people. There's only one of us here. We're all in this together. And when you have that dark flow coming through a person or an organization, it does a lot of damage to those around them, but it does the most damage to them. And it's very hard to watch. It's very hard to watch what's going on at the moment. But the power of the opposing force, the light, is much stronger than the dark ever is. Even though the drama is frequently hard to watch. So that was kind of an odd metaphysical musing, but it seemed like something that really needed to be said, even if it required the assistance of Master Yoda. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now let's have some fun with Kalikia Duggar. Hey, how are you tonight?
Hi. I am so delightful, actually. I am so excited.
You are.
Thanks. Thanks so much, David. I really enjoyed that metaphysical musing, actually. You know, it's something I've been talking about with friends, not specifically around the political arena, but just the choice that we have to choose the lighter side of things, or the choice that we have to take access in our ability to choose the love and the light, and how that affects us, you know. And that's honestly, it's a lot of the work that I do, is helping people to find the ways that they can choose the love and the light in themselves for their highest and best, you know?
Absolutely. A friend of mine is in a totally different tradition, but he said something last week that I found fascinating. I never looked at it that way. And I don't know if it was one of his teachers or he read it or where it was, but they basically said, anytime you look somebody in the eyes and say something that makes them smile, you've done an exorcism. You have removed whatever it was that was darkness in them for that moment. And you know, we always have that choice. We have the choice of going through the world, spreading light in those little ways and in bigger ways. Every time we do that, we're literally chasing the dark energy out of the world.
Yeah. You know, and one of my favorite sayings is, be careful of your self-talk, you know, because you're talking about the interpersonal, but let's also take it into the interpersonal. When you're self-talking, you're actually speaking to the universe, you know, and tapping into our subconscious minds, you know, ourselves are a universe, each and every one of us. And when we are using negative self-talk, or we're choosing to use positive and loving self-talk, we are choosing to bring in or expel demons from our own selves, you know?
Right.
Are you
saying
Absolutely. Things that are making you laugh? I like to.
I laugh at myself all the time.
Right?
So, as you know, the first thing that we ask people is, you know, how did you wind up doing what you do? What was your journey? How did this unfold in your life? And I know your story goes back to when you were a little kid.
Yeah. I've always been really interested in helping people, and just aware that I'm able to tap into other people's energetic fields in many different ways. And I actually started doing massage with people in my Quaker meeting group when I was about 6 or 7. And it might have gone back before that too. We'd have to ask my mom. Maybe next time we can have her on. But, you know, I started in that way. And then I was just working with people in high school, even doing peer counseling and really just like being present for people. And I was starting to realize that, hey, wait, I'm actually showing up and being present for people in ways that other people don't understand or don't have the ability to, you know, led me to, after high school, choosing to go into massage therapy as a profession, which was wonderful and very meditative for me. And I really liked the aspect of being able to facilitate people walking out of my room with giant smiles on their face. And, you know, for at least a little bit of time, being able to experience a lighter way of walking in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I started finding other ways to help facilitate that. So I was doing events, you know, not necessarily spiritual in nature, but some of that. But, you know, anything that was really helping people to tap into the joy and that like really deep inner joy that you get from just pure dance, you know, so those sorts of things. And then I heard the words Theta Healing. And I kind of like heard the words and I did a double take, you know, like physically and, you know, spiritually, like double. What is that? I don't have any idea, but I know that's what I want to be doing, you know. And that was about almost 8 years ago. I heard those words and I started doing research and I, you know, tried to get into some classes and I finally was able to take the classes. And now it's my favorite thing to do, because it can be used in so many ways. You know, it literally can be used for personal, interpersonal, for business. And I've had great success in all of those areas, working with people, individuals and groups, workshops and businesses. And it's really fulfilling in a way that massage therapy and Reiki and all of those other modalities that I was doing wasn't really fulfilling me. Mostly, I think, because in my experience, this has been something that's longer lasting than massage, longer lasting than a Reiki session. I've seen people come to me, and there is one woman who, like, I'm so depressed, and I've kind of lived my whole life with this depression, and I've taken all these different medications, and, you know, nothing really seems to help. My friend suggested I come and see you. And we did a session, and, you know, it took maybe a little longer than a normal hour-long session, not too much longer. And at the end of the session, she was just, like, almost crying tears of joy. She's like, I've never really felt this happy and excited. And I actually saw her a couple of months ago, and she ran up to me, and I had literally no clue who she was. She did not look familiar to me at all. And mind you, when I was doing events, I would meet 1,000 people in a night. So I've got really good at recognizing people, even if I don't remember their name. I had no idea who this woman was. But I'm always friendly, you know? So it's like, hey, how you doing? And then another friend came up, and this woman grabbed this friend of mine, was like, this woman, Kalikia, is so amazing. She, you know, changed my life. And then she started telling the story of how she came to see me for a session. And then I remembered who she was, and, you know, right. her whole face, her whole body, her whole energy, her whole aura was just completely different from the person who had come in to see me. And even still different from the person who had left, you know, just much more joyful and happy. And so that, like, in that way, like, that was one session. And that's one of the reasons I love this work, is, like, it can really create these really powerful changes for people, you know. And of course, my life has been dramatically and drastically changed for the better through doing this work. So I love this work.
So explain or describe more about Theta Healing and how it works and what you do. And
sure. Well, Theta Healing as a modality was developed by a woman named Bianna Stabal. She resides in Montana right now. And there's an Institute of Theta Healing called THINK, Theta Institute of Knowledge. Yeah, it's great. So essentially what you're doing is doing a guided meditation, which brings you into the theta brainwave. And, you know, our brains right now, we're in beta, which is when we're thinking and we're cognizant, we're processing information. When we're, that's the beta alpha, beta brainwave. Then you go into alpha when you're kind of going into that sleepy state and kind of transitioning from wakefulness to sleeping. And theta is when you're in that REM dream state sleep, when you're actually tapping into your subconscious. And they've been finding out that when we're in dream state, we're actually tapping into the subconscious of our brains, which is what they're saying is our way of communicating with the universe around us. Our subconscious is what connects us to that collective consciousness, which is creating the reality that we're all experiencing, right? So this work taps into that level of connection with the universe. So if you study the law of attraction, this is also where the vibration of your soul is, you know, attracting or repelling the things that you want, right? So right. Law of attraction says if you're vibrating on the right level, then you'll bring in those things that are vibrating on that same level, like attracts like. So the work that we're doing essentially is changing and kind of fine tuning the vibration of your subconscious to be more in alignment with what you are wanting in your life, which makes the law of attraction work like almost instantaneously. I like to call it presto manifesto. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally been times where I've spoken a name out loud and they walk around the corner, or, you know, I'll say oh, I wish I had, you know, X, Y, or Z. And within 5 minutes, X, Y, or Z is showing up in my life, whether that be, you know, I walk into a store and there's the exact thing I was wanting, or a friend of mine comes over and says, hey, you know, I had this item and I don't really want it anymore, but I thought maybe you would be interested, you know, like that sort of right. allowing of the universe to make all the steps happen to get me to where I want to be or the things that I want, as opposed to me having to do the hard legwork. You know, this is the ultimate of, you know, work smarter, not harder, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, the mechanics of it is going into that theta brainwave state and using quantum physics to literally watch these changes being made on our soul level. And that's another reason I love it. It's so interesting to be looking at the true connection between science and spirituality. You know, it's done amazing things, and I see miracles happening every day. So, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So it's not a hands-on method. It's done as a guided meditation. So yeah. I would sort of like a shamanic journey.
Yes, very much so. I mean, that you could definitely use that as a term to speak about theta healing. You know, I've done very successful sessions in person. I've done very successful sessions over the phone or over Skype. You know, I've even done just remote things where someone's texted me, I'm having this issue. And okay, well, I want you, you know, I'll send them back a message like, okay, I need you to go into that theta brainwave state. And this works with people who have done the work before.
Right.
Go into that theta brainwave state, and I'm going to watch this happen. I want you to watch this happen as well. The power of the two of us watching in our collective consciousness grid makes it a reality for the larger world. And that's when, you know, the larger world starts to change and affect the person differently, you know. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite story about that is a friend of mine who always had a contentious relationship with their mother. In their own words, my mother never had two nice words to say to me in a row. So she did a session with, you know, and dealing with her mother and the issues and releasing the resentments and things like this. And a couple hours later that evening, her mother calls her out of the blue and literally says to her, I'm just calling to tell you I love you and I'm very proud of you. And I know I've never really said that before. Mm-hmm. You know, the only difference was that she did this session, you know?
Right.
So.
Right. It's amazing when you work that way. And theta healing is not a method that I've, you know, done a whole lot with, obviously.
Yeah.
But working that way is so powerful. And
yeah.
Most people think, well, you know, that's just fantasy. You're just making that up. And but that's exactly it. You're making it up.
Exactly. And, you know, people, when people say that to me, I said, well, I'll tell you what, it definitely won't work if you don't believe that it works. You know, it's like, you know, faith healing at its best, faith healing with science, you know, but, you know, you like, because we are in control of our destinies, and because our subconscious is in control and determines 95% of what we experience in this life, if you truly believe, you know, I'll never be rich, then you definitely won't be rich. You know, like, if you truly believe this person hates me, then you're going to experience that person as hating you, even if, you know, they don't necessarily feel that way. You know, it's so subjective what we experience in this life, you
which
know,
is, and I, which is getting back to my metaphysical musing, not to drag.
Yes.
You in,
no,
you
exactly.
Into it. But when a group of people is led into a negative set of beliefs about
yes.
enemies and who these people are and what they do and how dangerous and blah,
yes.
blah, blah. We have to be afraid and we have to protect ourselves, especially doing it together with a lot of emotion.
Yes.
They create the reality that they're afraid of.
Yes, so absolutely.
So it confronts them all the time and confirms to them that that's real. And it is real because they pulled it in. They created it. And then they have to deal with it. And they're looking outside and saying, see, I was right. Look at all these people that are behaving in the ways that I predicted. Fortunately, the world is full of people who are doing exactly the opposite and saying, oh, yes. No, we're not.
Yeah. Well, it's the same principle. It's the same principle as like, hey, I want to buy this particular type of car. So you go and look online at this particular type of car and snap your fingers immediately. That's the only car you seem to see on the road. Right. Because your subconscious is saying, look, you're looking for it. I'm going to show it to you. And that's true of whatever it is we're talking about, whether that's, you know, a car or whether that's a type of health problem, you know, or whether that's, you know, basically anything in the world, whether that's relationship issues. You know, if you're part of a married couple and you're always complaining to the people around you about your spouse, and you go home and guess what you're going to find? More things to complain about, you know?
Right. Well, so, you mentioned using it with groups and with businesses. So how do you do it with a group?
There's a couple of different ways. I've done a number of different types of workshops. Generally, like when I do a workshop for people who aren't, that don't know each other, we do a little bit of discussion around the topic, whatever that may be, whether it's love or money or relationships or health or whatever it is. We'll do some discussions around what are possible blocks that we have. What are some blocks that are in the collective consciousness? Then we'll do a group guided meditation into the theta brainwave state. And we'll do some releasing and some downloads from in that place. So it works differently for all the different people in the group. And they'll each have their own experiences, which is different from working it as an individual session where we're doing like digging work for each person. To find out what their specific blocks are, you know. Right. And then, of course, if I'm working with a business, then there's a whole different way of kind of addressing what are the issues that the business is facing, the blockages to where they want to be as a business rather than as individuals, you know. And the end process is still very similar. Either I'm doing individual sessions with the people who are in the business, or we're doing a group session where we're all going into that theta brainwave state together, doing some of the releasing and doing some downloads to bring in like aspects of forgiveness, self-forgiveness, compassion, just like understanding of your own ability, calling in more guidance, calling in more assistance from the universe that you can be able to experience, you know. It, and you know, every business is different and every individual is different. So, you know, we get to explore, you know, every time I do a workshop, even on the same topic, it's very different. You know, the sure. energy is always different.
Sure. The people are different. The energy is different.
Exactly. The issues are different.
Yeah.
You know, and part of what I'm doing is I'm tapping into that collective consciousness grid and facilitating by listening with my whole heart and third eye, you know, which is something anybody and everyone can learn to do. But a lot of people haven't practiced. So a lot of what I'm doing is listening to what the universe is telling me, what that collective consciousness grid is saying that the people in the group are needing. And so facilitating in that way to listen to their higher selves and be able to help that release happen, you know?
Yep. So we're going to go to a break in a little while, and let's tell people how to get in touch with you.
Well, I'm definitely available on my website, kalikia.com. That's KALIKIA.com. You can find me on Facebook on my public page, Kalikia Duggar, spelled the same way with last name Duggar, D-U-G-G-E-R. There's also the Theta Thursdays community page, which I've started, and you can find my Theta Thursday workshops on there. There are free online workshops that I do bimonthly on various topics. So free healings, people. I'm also on Instagram. Yeah, free is good, you know. I'm also on Instagram and I'm also on Twitter.
You're everywhere.
I'm everywhere. You know, I'm a part of everything.
Which is true anyway, but.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we are going to go to a break shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is Kalikia Duggar, and she does, among many other things, theta healing, and I'm finding the conversation fascinating. I'm loving learning about this. So here we are. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio, and we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and ducks.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. Or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home, where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back. Kalikia Duggar.
Hey.
Talking about theta healing and who knows what else we'll get into.
Everything. Everything.
Exactly. So it's fascinating how as I'm hearing it, Theta Healing is using both the idea of brainwaves and getting into a certain brainwave state and some very, very traditional methods that have been in indigenous cultures all over the world for a long time. We just give them modern scientific sounding names. Mm-hmm. To, you know, make it accessible to people in a totally different way.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say that since I've been doing this work, I've really been doing just tons and tons of research on all sorts of related fields and just finding that, you know, this information is not new. This information has been around forever and ever and ever. And while we have, you know, gone through periods of forgetfulness of our connection, you know, there are always these times of like reconnection and reawareness and kind of remembering like, oh my goodness, that's right. We do have this power to affect and change our personal realities and affect the realities of not just our persons, but the people around us and, you know, our circumstances and all of that is able to be manipulated by the way we're thinking and feeling, you know? So that's, it's always so interesting. Every time I read a new book, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're just saying the same thing.
Right.
This is amazing.
Right. And the more I learn of different indigenous shamanic approaches around the world and the spirituality of each one, the more they feel the same. And even the religions that we consider very different have elements from other religions. So one of the things that struck me at some point is that the personal rituals in Catholicism, so counting beads while you repeat a prayer, looking at a statue or a picture of a saint or some other being, lighting the candles, incense, all of those things are Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
They come almost directly, other than the pictures being different and the prayers being in another language, but they come directly from a tradition that's started thousands of years before the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
And they work. And that's why yes. They've been carried through.
Yeah. And I've been doing a lot of research even that is showing how even, you know, Hinduism, the oldest religions, they're finding like that's coming from, you know, ancient Sumeria and like even mm-hmm. farther back, because where did that come from, you know? And just being aware, just starting to have this like really, really long-sighted awareness of human development and, you know, how right. how we're each just kind of pulling what's working forward into the future.
Right. And I was surprised when I learned more about Tibetan Buddhism, which is a very shamanic culture, very shamanic approach to the relationship with both the physical world and spirit. And obviously Native American and many of the other indigenous cultures have that kind of connection as well. And those, while each group is different, the underlying understanding is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting to me to like try to conceptualize, okay, well, you know, in 100 years or in the next 1,000 years, what are we going to be viewed as? You know, what are our religious views and our abilities now going to be viewed as, you right. know, in 100 years or 1,000 years? Yeah. Are we going to, yeah. how right. much more are we going to know or how little, you know, how much less are we going to know? Hopefully it's more.
Well, you know, everything goes in periods of expansion and contraction. So we like exactly. to say the Dark Ages and the medieval period in Europe were, you know, really a time when people didn't understand what was going on, and it was everybody was poor and circumstances were dire and all the rest of it. And then suddenly, magically, the Renaissance happened, and everything changed. And there is some truth to that mythology. But it certainly is a sure. way of saying that the period that happened afterwards was better than the period that happened before.
Exactly.
Without necessarily knowing a whole lot about either.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always mourn is how little our culture in particular and people in the United States know about history. Our own history, but certainly
yeah.
world history. And
you know, I gotta say, I was in school in Europe for a year, and just dumbfounded by how not necessarily up on the specific American schools were in terms of teaching the history, and in the last 50 years of history, you know, and you know that other countries are definitely more like, hey, yeah, no, let's take a look at what was going on, you know, in a really in-depth way.
Right.
So, right.
And it's also fascinating when you go somewhere else that they tell the stories differently, not just because they see it from a different vantage point. They experience that time in a way that's very personal to their culture. But also
yes.
because their interpretation of what happened for us and in our country is very different, because they're not telling it from inside the story.
Right.
So you listen to other people tell various parts of history, especially 20th century history, and they're talking about two different worlds. It's really fascinating. And
you know,
scary.
It's one of the things that I really have to be aware of when I'm doing healing sessions with people, you know, especially not just working with people of different cultures or ethnicities here and now, but the difference between what their DNA memories are telling, you know. So some of the work that I'm doing is not even necessarily working with beliefs or program structures that an individual is having now, but some of it is the beliefs and program structures their grandparents
right.
were dealing with, you know. And so it's always very interesting to me that, you know, we're having our individual experiences, but at the same time, we're still playing out these really old stories that aren't necessarily true anymore. You know,
right.
So I've definitely worked with people who are, you know, still carrying these DNA memories of, you know, being persecuted and, you know, chased after, and or right. that they were the people who were doing the persecution, and so their current self is experiencing these feelings of guilt that they just don't understand where it's coming from. And
right.
you know, it's always really interesting to see how these timelines and these different awarenesses between different cultural groups and, you know, different eras are playing out in people's lives today, you know.
Right. Well, in shamanic traditions, they always talked about lineage and the passing down of memories and all of that.
Yeah.
And now that we've got the science that's developing that shows, in particular, they're doing it tracing the effects of trauma, but they can affect track the DNA changes at this point, as you were saying, going back to two generations.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually started doing that work with Holocaust survivors and the families
yes.
of Holocaust survivors. And then victims of trauma, and looking at, because
yep.
trauma always has a family lineage that goes
yes.
back multiple generations.
Yes.
So the person is dealing with their own experience and their own pain and their confusion, all the other stuff about what they dealt with and how they're going to work that out for themselves. But on top of that is dealing with what happened to generations going back way more than two, just because that's all we can presently track in DNA doesn't mean that it doesn't go back.
Exactly.
You know, 10, 20 generations with these kinds of things, which means that the person is going to have a deeply felt, visceral understanding that that kind of trauma is part of life.
That it's absolutely natural, that it's expected, and which makes it so that they're actually unable to accept anything different,
right.
You know?
And then they
That's the scary thing.
Right. And then they take actions which creates the trauma in their children.
Exactly. Even without meaning to, you know, because they that's what this whole concept of is. Well, what can if you can imagine it, then it is possible. You know, if you can see it, then it can be real. If you can't imagine something else, then you're never going to experience anything else.
Right.
You know, and that's just one of the main concepts that I work with people on is like, OK, well, what can you see how could this be different? You know, when I'm doing the manifesting type work as opposed to healing and resolving old things, that's the question. What would it look like, or what might it look like if it was different? You know, and that can sometimes be a really challenging question for people to even start to think about, you know?
Right. And even bigger than that is how would it feel?
Yeah, exactly.
How would it feel in your body if all this stuff we're talking about and imagining actually happened?
Yeah. I definitely do a lot of like downloads around like, okay, well, let's get you these feelings. Do you even understand what it feels like to have unconditional love? Do you even understand what it feels like to have forgiveness in your life or to have compassion for yourself or for other people?
Right.
You know, those are some of the biggest things, or what it feels like to be safe. You know, like those are some really major things that in the quantum collective consciousness where there's a lot of lack of understanding, you know, on a visceral level, you know?
Right. Right. People can get there in their conversation and in their intellect, but even to a certain extent in emotions, but getting it in the body is the most powerful place for the healing, but also the most powerful place in terms of making a major change that will carry into the future.
Yes. Absolutely.
So you always have to be careful of that. What you're saying to yourself and what you're saying is true in the universe.
And, you know, and I stress to people also, like, it's not just what we're saying to ourselves. And it's often like the types of jokes we're making. Does that make sense? Like, you know, I have some friends who are like, they're the really sarcastic people, you know, and they're constantly making these jokes and going up to people that they actually really care about and saying, you know, I can't stand you, as they're giving them a hug and smiling. And they don't intend for those words to be the truth. But these are also some of the people, the very people who, you know, at the end of the day, when they're home alone, they just feel really unloved, you know, and when they get into a vulnerable place, they share those feelings like, wow, you know, I really feel like nobody really likes me. Well, that's because people have come to understand that you would rather hear, hey, I really don't like you, and have that be a joke. But the words, you know, like words sound power, you know, the words constantly being heard.
And, you know, as somebody who is sarcastic and grew up in a very sarcastic culture, it's one of the things you need to realize is that you can't have the important stuff be sarcastic.
Yes.
And because sarcasm is saying the opposite of what you want, what's true.
Exactly.
And that's which is why it's funny.
Yes.
Right. The universe hears what you actually say, not what you would like.
Exactly.
So it's
tricky stuff, man. Tricky magic.
Well, yeah. And we live in a culture where there is so much anger and put down and calling each other names because it's supposed to be building group cohesion and all kinds of other
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Or taking back certain terms. That's right. One I try to fight against a lot.
Well, you know. and the other thing is there are several cultures that are based on intimidation, which is because of the underlying fear. But
yes,
if the way that you feel powerful is by being intimidating, then you get a response or from the people around you based on what you're putting out. What you're covering is your vulnerability. It always is about covering the vulnerability. But
I find that being vulnerability is actually can be a really powerful place for people to come from, you know, right. when it's safe to do so, you right. know, like it is safe for me to be vulnerable because I know that I'm not going to be physically harmed or emotionally harmed for that. And that's not always something that we have the ability to do, but it's really empowering when you can, you know? So.
Right.
I try to do that as much as possible.
Right. But I think with young men and a number of subcultures, the subculture is about intimidation and dominance. And then they wonder why people react to them badly. And it's like, right. Well, you know, somewhere along here, you've got to be real and not be the cool dude who's posturing and doing all the other stuff to show up. Because people don't get the difference.
Yeah. I think, you know, if people were able to access their inner intuition more readily, then it wouldn't be so much of an issue. But, you know, we've been societally, you know, pressured and programmed to ignore those feelings, ignore that like feeling right. you get literally in your belly or in your heart chakra that's giving you information, you know. And it's so I love reading these studies where they're showing, hey, your heart is actually a transmitter and a receiver. It's literally reading and transmitting information constantly wherever you are. You're transmitting and receiving from the people around you. And if you're able to listen to that, you like there's literally no stopping you. It's almost like being like directly psychic, right? Super fun.
Well, right. Well, I don't remember.
Not always.
Many of the ancient traditions, ancient cultures thought the heart was the center of everything in man, and they really didn't pay much attention to the brain at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that the brain and the intellect is in the brain and that the brain and the intellect are the most important thing is relatively new. And not well supported. There's a study which is getting distributed around the internet again recently. There was a Frenchman who had hydroencephaly, which is water on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And he was treated and was having a normal life. He wasn't a very smart guy, but he worked and had a family and all the rest of it. And later something else changed. His symptoms mm-hmm. changed and they did another x-ray of his head. And basically he had no brain. 90% of his brain had been pushed aside by the fluid. And
wow,
that's a pretty good indication that consciousness is not in your head and that
right.
The way that you function in the world is not.
Wow. That's something I'd like to read. Send that to me.
next time I see it, it was on Facebook and a couple other places last week. And I always sit there and giggle, because it makes you question the underlying ideas that we just take for granted. You know, your brain is the most important thing and all of this stuff is stored in your brain and blah, 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 blah. But mm-hmm. a pretty good indication that may not be accurate.
Right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Mind blowing. To say the least.
Right. But, you know, it's the problem with understanding that something is not what everyone believes is that you have to reach some critical mass of people believing it. And then the people who don't believe it need to literally die off. This happens in science all the time.
Yeah.
There'll be some discovery that really changes understanding, but all the diehards whose entire careers and work has been based on the previous concept have a really hard time letting it go and letting the new people be the voice of that science.
Right. We become invested in our beliefs. I think what was it that movie Dogma said? You know, beliefs, faith is different than belief. You know, belief, you know, you become invested in that, you know, it has to be this way. Otherwise, like, then who are you without it? You know,
right.
But having faith is more like, yes, I have this faith that it's all going to work out, and I don't need to be invested in it. It's not going to change my existence to have that faith shifted.
And I just want to suggest to people, if you've never seen Dogma,
you should.
It's sacrilegious.
And it's hilarious.
It's got some foul language, and it is absolutely hilarious and will make you think about things in a totally different way. It's one of my favorite movies.
Mine too. Absolutely.
And the whole storyline about, you know, angels getting thrown out of heaven and trying to figure out a backdoor way around the rules to get back. It's just, you know, there must be something that it says that will let us do this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
very, very funny.
I might have to watch that later tonight, actually.
Yes. Silent Bob.
Oh, my God. Now I just want to talk about the movie. It's hilarious, but I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, because it's that good.
Great lines from that movie. I am not going to quote it, though.
Now it's all inside jokes.
Of course. And of course, we could keep talking forever, but we're running out of time. Let's tell people how to get in touch with you again.
Hit me up on my website, kalikia.com. That's kalikia.com. I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram, all as Kalikia Duggar. Again, the spelling's Kalikia, and Duggar is Dugger. And you can also reach me with the Theta Thursdays community page. That's Theta Thursdays, Theta Thursdays community page. And that's where you can access my Theta Thursday programs, which are absolutely free group healings, removing and releasing, you know, some of our collective consciousness beliefs around money, love, relationships, connection with our spiritual selves, ability to receive and give forgiveness, dealing with grief and gratitude, all sorts of amazing topics. And I fully, fully invite you to join me there.
Well, I, for one, am grateful that you've been on the show, because this has been great fun.
I have just enjoyed myself wholeheartedly. Absolutely.
And if you stay on the line after we get off, we can talk for a little bit after.
Awesome.
My guest tonight has been Kalikia Duggar, who does Theta healing, among many other things. And thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Bless you.
Bless you. And if you got curious about who is this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view are all kinds of ways to get in touch with me, including a scheduling widget that lets you make an appointment for a 20-minute free conversation by phone, and we can take a look at what's going on for you and any person, place, business, situation, whatever it happens to be, and see how my work might be helpful. If you want more about the show, go to thefarkasfiles.com and the entire archive. We've been doing this for 5 years, so there are hundreds of interviews with fascinating people. But the best way to listen, I think, is to download the Empower Radio app, and then you can just click on all the many shows on Empower Radio. And when you click on the show, you get the entire archive and you can look up any show that you would like to watch, listen to. The Farkas Files is on at 9 p.m. every day with an archive show and a live show on Thursday. So we invite you to listen to us. And we're also on almost every streaming media outlet you can imagine. TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and iTunes podcasts. So you can find us almost anywhere by looking for Empower Radio or the Farkas Files. So we've done it again. Had a fascinating time. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Thank you one and all for being with us, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. And until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.